Welcome to 5-Minute Film Finder, brought to you by Pioneer Library System.
Welcome back to 5-Minute Film Finder. It's been a while. This is Ben, and today with me I have...
Darren.
Welcome back, Darren. So we've taken a little bit of an extended break due to busyness of the library. People are getting back out there in the world and doing lots of programming. Also some technical difficulties. We're excited to jump back into it with some exciting movies today. How have you been, Darren?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm very excited to do this. I miss the podcast, and I love watching movies. So
absolutely, yeah. If you've listened before, you know that me and Darren love to jump into some sci-fi movies. We've done quite a handful of fun and weird sci-fi movies in the past. But today we have a nice two-hander. We're doing some martial arts multiverse movies. I think that's like the simplest way you
multiverse
can
multiverse movies. Yeah. Say that five times fast on a podcast. There
absolutely.
You go.
Without getting into it, we are doing Everything Everywhere All at Once and The One. Quite a two-hander. I always rely on Darren to find me a nice co-pick for whatever movie I throw at him, and I chose Everything Everywhere All at Once, and he brought me The One, and I forgot what a wild movie of its time it was. Why did you pick The One? Do you remember it fondly?
I watched it in the theater. I remembered it. I don't know about fondly. Like it's a 2001 movie, and it's very much a 2001 movie. And I saw it on the list on Hoopla there, and I thought it'd be a great match because of the multiverse thing.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, let's jump right into it, and we'll start with Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Wilhelm, start the timer. All right, so Everything, Everywhere, All at Once is a 2022 film directed by The Daniels. You may recognize The Daniels, Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert, I believe, from another episode we did, Swiss Army Man. They are a weird director duo. They come from music videos, I believe.
I believe that's correct.
They are incredibly inventive in the way that they approach films.
If you've seen anything that they've done, you know that they don't do typical movies.
It has a distinct personality and approach. Very low budget, but not in the sense that it looks cheap. Is they don't spend a lot of money wasting on on visual effects. Everything
tight,
is practical.
Like the resource use in these movies.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And it was a very distinct impression that I got from watching this one and watching The One. This movie had estimated between $14 and $25 million budget, which that was quite a big range, but still a very small for like a huge movie. But it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Everything looks amazing, warm, but like if you are really paying attention, like all the like sci-fi elements of it are so practical. Just they're clearly like just doing it on set that day.
Camera tricks and stuff like that to make it look more expensive than it actually is.
Yeah. One of my favorite ones, I remember when I was watching was the first time she puts on the headset and like they're doing like a very classic scan where like normally they do this in a computer and they kind of like do the lights all around the head, but this they just had a projector on her and it looks really cool.
Yes.
And kind of like
yes.
nice and warm and analog, and there's something like really beautiful about that. So that's kind of like the vibe you're getting from them. I can't go too deep into this because we only have 5 minutes.
Right.
That's the whole thing.
Get
This movie has an incredible cast. Heavy hitters of the martial arts film world. Michelle Yeoh is our star. You may know her from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. She has been in a million TV shows as just a heavy hitter of martial arts, and also just like being a like presence. She's in Tomorrow Never Dies, one of the classic Pierce Brosnan's that is arguable as to the quality for different people. She's in Crazy Rich Asians for another more contemporary film that she's been in. But she is just like a huge presence in Asian actors.
She and as an actor, she always finds a way to fill those roles really well. Mm-hmm. Takes command of the role, and her presence is always felt in these movies. And it's interesting because she's never really been given, and it's something that she's expressed, she'd never been really given a chance to do something like this, where she has this amount of range and things that she needs to cover in a role. She's been kind of singular in the things that she's been asked to do, and so it was cool watching her be able to do that.
Absolutely. And like, so a little bit about this movie. This is a movie ostensibly about a family,
mm-hmm.
about changing relationships, changing how you view the people that you love, but through this crazy lens of the multiverse, seeing all the possible paths you could have taken. It's a really beautiful and like lovely movie that is kind of couched in a lot of like silliness, and like both visual and like
the Daniels very much into the absurdist comedy and just giving you those things that you don't know what you're going to expect, and just, you know, surprises you along with the message that they're going
for. I'll just say hot dog fingers.
Hot dog
fingers. You've never seen this movie, like, you'll never expect to see like people with hot dog fingers delivering an emotional, like, kind of like moving scene.
I mean, the unbelievably poignant rock scene.
Oh,
like,
yes.
The rocks.
There's a scene that is entirely between two characters as rocks on a cliffside through subtitles.
Rock subtitles.
No movement, no voiceover, just the wind blowing,
yes.
And two rocks talking to each other. It's a beautiful movie. I think I'm running close on time. So quick other things to get in there. Who else is in this movie? We also have Ki Hui Kwan, who is playing Weimin Wang. He also is known as Shortstop and Data from Goonies and Indiana Jones, respectively. He's just lovely in this movie.
Just a beautiful man in the movie.
Yeah.
For sure.
Jamie Lee Curtis playing one of her fun villainous roles in this movie. Like, but also
Sort of, right?
Yeah. Because like, multiverse.
Mm-hmm. Right. And even the villainous portion has, some resolve there.
Yeah, you know, so. A turnaround, yeah. Stephanie Sue, who you may also know from, I think she was in that new movie, Girls Trip? Maybe not. She's been in a lot of TV shows. She's in Marvelous Miss Maisel, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, Girl Code, just a ton of stuff. But she is fantastic. She also plays the big bad of the movie.
The daughter of the main character and the overall antagonist, yes.
Yes. So wrapping it up, this movie's awesome. You should absolutely see it. It won, I think, 7 Academy Awards.
Including 3 for the actors.
Yeah. So we got Best Picture, Best Actress, Best Supporting Actor, Best Supporting Actress, Director, Screenplay, Film Editing, Supporting Actress again. Original score and costume design.
And not just those things, but notable because first time for a science fiction movie, the Asian actors winning the awards for acting, and then the fact that it's a rated R movie that won all of these.
Yes, an important detail. This is a rated R movie, so it has some explicit stuff. It's not a particularly bloody, violent movie, but there is some like absurdist rated R material, so watch with caution. But so funny, so good. That's definitely my time. But now we will move on to the one right after this message.
Great.
And we are back. So Darren, what are we talking about?
So today we have The One. It's an interesting companion to everything because, should I say everything, everywhere, all at once?
Whatever you want. Okay.
Interesting companion to Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, because the multiverse aspect, but it treats it differently. Obviously, the one, it's more of a focus on the villain, really. Mm-hmm. It's the villain's movie, in my opinion. And the multiverse is a way for him to gain power, basically. That's the plot of the movie. And we spend 80-ish minutes watching Jet Li fight himself. That's the gist of it.
Truly,
And it's like I said earlier, it's very much a 2001 movie.
The soundtrack,
like the new metal soundtrack, is on point. If you're into that,
just littered with it.
Very much. Of course, Drowning Pool's Bodies is in there. Just like
I think, right?
Right,
like
at the first. Yes. Yeah. The first needle drop, and then also the end of the movie. Like they bookend the movie with Bodies by Drowning Pool. Yeah. It's pretty good. As far as the effects and everything go, it shows its age. We talked about the budget on the last movie. It doesn't match the budget. It's not a greatly reviewed movie, but I think it's a fun Jet Li kung fu movie.
If you're into like Jet Li like 90s movies, like it scratches that itch.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. Interesting things for me, things like Jason Statham's in the movie, in a small role, very early role for him.
Pre-shaving the head.
Yeah, pre-shaving the head. Yeah. He had only done maybe one movie, a Hollywood movie, because he had done Lock, Stock.
Yeah.
And he had a couple of English movies first, but yeah, like maybe his first actual Hollywood movie that he'd done.
Yeah.
Supporting role for him, Delroy Lindo, good role for him. I like that.
He in that role of like a like tough but right. fair cop,
like you want him to be like you'd feel bad for making him mad at you, but you want him on. Yeah, so that was pretty good for me. And watching the interaction between him and Jet Li, some good for some laughs.
Yeah.
Interestingly, I think the most interesting thing I found when watching this movie was what I discovered. I did not know this, but Ke-Huy Quan actually worked on the one.
Oh, what?
So in his time, after he had to retire from acting because he couldn't get any jobs, he had basically bounced around Hollywood doing some jobs, and he was working for Corey Yoon, who is doing stunt coordination. He's directed some movies since then, but he did the stunt coordination and stuff for this movie and the first X-Men movie that came out in 2000.
Yeah.
So he worked on, Ke-Huy Quan worked on both of those movies. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that before I picked the one, so I thought that was great. He worked on both movies. So.
Yeah. So something about this movie that struck for me is like how clearly The Matrix had just come out a year or two before.
Right.
It was like they just were trying to do their own spin on the bullet time. There's the slow motion, but also like weird, like, slow motion into speed ramping into slow motion is very like
almost
its own vibe.
Almost to the point where it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like he can't be doing that. They're like, it's physically impossible for that guy to be moving that speed and this guy to be moving that speed.
Yeah.
A little bit of that.
And that just also felt like a thing of the time.
Mm-hmm. It's very
just
much,
like,
yes.
Everybody's just like, well, now that we can do bullet time, let's just see what we can do.
Right. Yeah. Stretch it as far as you can go.
Yeah. So we had a lot of fun with this movie.
Yeah.
There's also some gripes, obviously. They could have done with more with the multiverse thing.
I think that was really that's what's going to knock it down. Like it's only rated like 5.9 or something like that on IMDb. And for me, that's like borderline. Like because it's a action kung fu movie, it's within my range. I can watch it.
Yeah.
But like a lot of people aren't going to enjoy this movie.
Yeah.
You could push it up by exploring the multiverse more, like we talked about.
Like, so something we were talking about off mic is they at one point show all the different versions of our hero and villain.
The law or lawless is in there somewhere. That's the guy's name.
Yeah. But they just flash a bunch of different versions of him on the screen, like with different haircuts and different names from different multiverses. But they never explore that. They never show these characters or like kind of have fun with the whole idea of a multiverse. It's just like, yeah, there's a multiverse.
There was very little multiverse travel. Like they spent more time traveling back to the multiverse, like cop shop
Absolutely.
Than they actually did going to other universes. And it just kind of a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Except for at the end, I thought that was great. They send him to the prison planet. Like, you get to see the prison planet thing. Like, that, you get a little taste of the actual multiverse.
You see that and you're like, okay, I would like to see what's happening there.
Exactly. Like, I want to see that movie.
Yeah. And that may have been like a tee up for a sequel.
It never happened because it wasn't that good. Didn't make much money. So.
Yeah. But definitely. Oh, well, there's Wilhelm with the time. But would you suggest this movie?
I think that, like I said, if it's within your range of kinds of movies that you like, if you like action, you like Kung Fu, you like Jet Li, you like Jason Statham, you like new metal from, Johnny Poole and stuff like that, absolutely. Go for it.
Yeah, it's definitely that vibe. I would agree with that. I don't think we did that for Everything Everywhere, but also I think we're both emphatic yeses on that movie. It's incredible. We are so happy to be back with 5 Minute Film Finder. We're going to be trying to get these out a lot more regularly. If there's anything that you'd like us to cover, anything you're excited about when we were previously running, reach out to us at podcast@pioneerlibrarysystem.org and let us know. Otherwise, we'll just keep putting these out for you, and we'll be excited to see you next time. Thanks.
Thanks for having me. So excited to be back.
Bye.